Today is the last day of the old year, I'm told. And tomorrow is the year of the ox. And Chinese people have a lot of respect for this animal. So they say, maybe from tomorrow things will turn up. My dear friends, we who have the Savior never look to animals. If you do have to look to any animal, it is the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God that taketh away all your sins. So, what have I got to cheer you up? In the new year, tomorrow, everybody will say, 恭喜发财. But that is not important. What we want is that God will give you a good year. A year of trust. A year of faith. A year of advancement for the gospel. A year of spiritual growth in your own life. Never stagnate. If you stagnate, you are dead. You're not growing. And no one here should be dead and not growing. I have chosen a psalm called Psalm 17, a psalm of David. And every psalm of David is worthy of reading, meditating, and learning. Amazing psalm. Please turn to it. Hear the right, O Lord. Attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goes not out of feigned lips, that is, deceitful lips. Never you pray, not meaning what you are saying, for that is hypocrisy, and that is deceitful. When you pray, speak from your heart the very truth that you mean what you say. For the one you are praying to knows exactly what is in your heart. So this is David's first verse of Psalm 17. You know, life is a trip. We are here for a short time. And life is never easy. 2 years ago, everybody thought it was so good. Singapore is prospering all the time. Everything is going up and up and up. Suddenly everything crashes. Where are we? If you do not have God as your Savior and Redeemer and friend and guide and help, you'll be finished. On this earth, there are just two groups of people. One, running along the broad way of life. Jesus says, follow me. Enter in by the straight gate, that narrow, small gate. Nobody likes it. You have chosen it. Now you are walking along, running along. Narrow way. Few people like it. Thank God you are here today. Never neglect the Lord's day. Here we are running in this narrow path. But you know, in life, the beginning is not too important. It is important. Yes, that you choose the right gate, not the broad one, the wide gate, but the narrow one. But more important is to know where you are leading to. What is at the end of it? Jesus says, enter in to me. The straight gate, the narrow gate. And then walk with me along the narrow way. Life is not easy. But people choose the broad one. It's easy. Every day you enjoy life. When I was in college, they used to sing, enjoy yourself, it's later than you think. So, they don't think that it's later than you think to the gate of hell. And they're running along. Jesus says, many there be that go in thereat. If you realize this, how must we all go and tell those who are going the broad way, get out, danger. For the end of it is destruction. But there are so many attractions, so many places to keep you happy, as it were. Happy, enjoy yourselves. All those places, people debate, should we go to a cinema? Why is there a debate? If a Christian has got time to spare, he should be thinking of how he can help others get out of the Broadway, of cinema, of disco, of other enjoyment places, to get out into the narrow path. Why is there a question? Why? Can Christians do this, do that? No need to debate. If you're a Christian, you should know you're in the narrow path. And we have a duty, a privilege to go out and tell people in the broad way they are going to destruction, come. Now this is David's prayer. Lord, hear my cry. Did you pray this morning? How many of you came to church without praying, waiting for the pastor to pray? I was so appalled when I began to pastor my church. I had a census of people's prayer life. So many of them don't pray. I asked them, why don't you pray? Oh, I do. When there's trouble, I pray. Now, dear friends, what child are you if you don't talk to your father? That's why Jesus says, except you be converted to be a little child, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. David says here, verse 1, hear me, hear the right. I'm in need, O Lord. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer. Because they go from a clean heart. They are honest words, very sincere. Verse 2, let my sentence come. Come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. That means that are true, that are just. Never you pray with your lips and not meaning in your heart. Verse 3, thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. Can you say that, dear friends? Yeah, all of us, every day, search our own hearts before the Lord. Ask the Lord, please cleanse me, make me pure, so that my heart is clean for you. Now in life, there is always problem. No life is smooth sailing all the time. When you start out in a trip, you want to always have a good leader to follow, right? You go on a trip, a tour group, you want to ask, where are we going? What are we getting there? At the end of the trip, of the tour, do we get any benefit? Surely you ask all those things. When you become a Christian, did you ever ask the Lord, what is it I'm going to get following you? Jesus says, follow me. Yes, you follow. Do you know what you're going to get? No one ever follows another not knowing what he's going to get. Now, what do you get when you follow Jesus? Oh, my friends, when you buy insurance, you ask also, what do I get? There's so many kinds of insurance. But all you want is benefit. At the end of it, whether it is a tour group, whether it's insurance, I want to know one thing. Will I get something good? Because we all are thinking, God has given us a sound mind. What is the benefit? Will I be satisfied following Jesus? What is the benefit? Today does not show. Today you could be worse off than an unbeliever. Much worse off. Possible, yes. But the Lord assures you. And in this psalm, it's so good. David has followed the Lord. And if you turn to the last verse of the last psalm, Psalm 16 and verse 11, it is as it were a repeat of Psalm 17 verse 15. Listen to this. The last verse of Psalm 16 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy." Ah, that's what you will get. Following Jesus is a path of life. Not following Jesus, there is no life. No hope. End of that broad way is destruction, is death. If so, why are you debating whether you should serve the Lord or not serve the Lord? And the last phrase in this sentence, "At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." Those are the real pleasures, not on earth, to go to Sentosa and waiting for the integrated resorts and then going to enjoy your life and make money. All those things, even if you do make money, it is all programmed for you to lose money. So, don't, please. Go with the Lord. Every day, think of what can I do for the Lord in this coming new year. Make it a special, profitable new year for God's work. Do you have a part in God's work? Yes or no? Well, you say, "I come to church." Is that enough? If the Lord has given His life for you, to give you hope in heaven, and all you do is to come regularly to church, you think that's enough? And the Lord will ask you, "What have you done?" In that day when you arrive there, you say, "Thank God, I've traveled the path of life, and now I have fullness of joy. And at the right hand of God, I have pleasures forevermore." That's a promise. That's what you get if you follow Jesus. And this same verse is repeated in the Psalm 17. Now look at Psalm 17. Verse 15 of Psalm 17. This is what you get. The psalmist tells you in Psalm 17, following the Lord along the straight and narrow way, in the end he says, "As for me," who? David. The one who wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The most wonderful psalm in all of literature. Now he says, "As for me," you think I'm a fool? I'm just an ordinary shepherd boy, serving the Lord whom you can't see. Does it disturb you? People laugh at you, say, "You hoping for a pie in the sky. Enjoy this life." No. David says, "I know whom I believe. I know I'm serving the true God." Do you have this confidence? Verse 15, David says, "As for me, I will behold your face in righteousness." There is a change coming, dear friends. When you follow Jesus, you do not see the end. But Jesus does not keep you ignorant. He tells you, "In my Father's house are many mansions." And you got to be made qualified to go to those mansions. It's like a moon. Some people talk of colonizing the moon. This is building castles in the moon. Fantasy. But God says to us, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go and prepare a place for you." But you got to be prepared for that place prepared for you. Are you prepared? Yes, you got to be transformed. In this present shape, in this present makeup, you are going to end only 6 feet underground. Finish. You got to have a transformation. And that is promised. Verse 17. "I will behold his face," thy face. Who is thy face? Who is this talking about? David recognizes his Savior. The face of God in Jesus Christ. There will be a day when we see Him face to face. That is the reward for following Jesus in our daily life sojourn on earth. I want to impress on you that no one is a PR anywhere on earth. So happy now I got PR Australia, PR America. I got to go there to get my green card. So happy. You think so? All of us are only temporary. The only PR is up there. God has prepared a place for you. But you got to be prepared for that place. How can you be prepared? Verse 17 again, verse 15. "I shall behold thy face in righteousness. In that day, God will change me. Make me prepared, ready to inherit my eternal home in heaven." Traveling on earth is orbit. Did you know that? We sit here, you're just a little atom. You're nothing. And the earth, so big. And the earth in the context of the universe is an atom. It's nothing. It's just a peanut. Where is the universe? And the Creator. Thank God you know the Creator. And He is the one who prepares a place for you. In the meantime, we orbit. Tomorrow we start another orbit. How long is one orbit and around what? We orbit around the sun. Not the sun around us, you know. And then it takes 365 and quarter days, more or less. One orbit, 1 year. 1 year older, 1 year nearer the grave. Until your orbiting time is up, then your body goes down. Where does your soul go? David says, "I know. I will behold my Savior because He invited me to take the narrow way. And I've done that. I shall then behold my Savior who has led me along that narrow way, orbiting around the sun on this planet Earth. God has in mercy called me to the narrow way." This is why you are here today. But you must know what is at the end of it. "I shall be satisfied because on that day I'll see my Savior face to face in righteousness." Today we are all clothed with a mortal, sinful, sin-loving body. All of us. But then the Savior has paid the price for our transformation, salvation, so that when the time comes, when you go 6 feet underground, your soul goes back to God, ready for your new body. Then verse 15 becomes a reality. Can you please read that again? I shall be satisfied then. I will be so happy to know that when I undertook to follow Jesus, it was the best thing I ever did in my life. When I awake with thy likeness, awake. Awake only comes after sleep, right? When did I sleep? Can you tell me? Not last night. But the sleep coming when God will call and your body will go down. You sleep. And in that sleep, you cast off this mortal body, this sin-loving body, down. No more. God gives you a new body. Amazing, amazing revelation. Now back to the prayer of David. In this world of trouble, we need a helper. And this psalm is a prayer. Make it your prayer. Verse 5. Remember that David was a shepherd boy. He was basically a farmer. A shepherd, one who looked after those animals. And he knows exactly how much an animal depends on the shepherd. And he relates to God as shepherd and me, I'm a sheep. So he prays in the language of a shepherd. Verse 5. Lord, hold up my goings in thy paths. For unless God will hold you, keep you, you are going to fall. Did you pray this every day? Verse 5 again. This is a call to the shepherd by the sheep. Who is the sheep? David, you. You who pray today. If you pray this morning, this is your prayer. Lord, hold up my goings, my steps in your path, that my footsteps slip not. Ah, dear friends, if God holds you, you will not be inclined to go to those places of entertainment for nothing. To go there and pollute your mind with filth and the sins of the world. What for? So pray this, dear friends. Make it your New Year prayer. Lord, hold up my goings in your path, that I may always walk with you on the narrow way, that my footsteps slip not and fall into the slippery broad way and follow the crowd, because there is no need of encouragement to go in the broad way. No need at all. Everybody is going there. I know that. Lord, I know that. I need your help to hold me. Make that your prayer every day. Then verse 7, show me, Lord, your marvelous loving kindness. I need to know more of your loving kindness, because sometimes I think God is so far away, I don't see him. But he has shown you his love. O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. Show me your right hand. Show me both your hands, the nail-pierced hands, and let them lead me, for those are the hands of love. God loves us, and He is ever so near to lead us and to hold us. Do you ask Him to do it? Verse 8, Lord, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. You know the shadow of your wings? A mother hen will never allow the chicks to be harmed by any kind of vulture. Never. As a child, we used to keep chickens. And when there is one of those eagles or things flying above, the mother hen sees it immediately, gathers all the little chicks around her wings and keep them underneath. Amazing! That vulture will not get at the chicks except it eats up the mother. If God is your Savior and He gathers you under His wings, you will never be harmed. This world is full of trouble. People run along the broad way. They think no trouble. It's full of trouble, except the trouble is sugar-coated. You think discos and nightclubs are trouble-free? They enjoy for a few hours, and then they pay the price for days and weeks and months and years. And some of them lose even their head cut off in the newspapers. These are the things that happen to people who run the broad way. David says, Lord, help me. Shadow me under your wings. Keep me as the apple of your eye. How well do you look after your eyes? There is nothing more precious and sensitive in your whole body except than the eyes. You don't allow even a speck of a hair to go in. The moment you feel it, you wash it away. That's how you care for your eye. David says, Lord, please, care for me as your eye. That kind of detail, intimate care. Do you know you have such a God? Do you know? You know Him? Verse 13, Arise, O Lord. How many times has he called to the Lord? Hold me fast. Keep me in your straight and narrow path. Show thy marvelous loving kindness. Show me that I may understand better. Keep me as the apple of your eye. And finally, verse 13, Arise, O Lord. Disappoint Him. Who is Him? Enemy. Do you have an enemy? Congratulations, you don't have. But I have a few. That's why I had to go down to Perth. Now you say to God, Arise, O Lord. Disappoint Him. So that He's trying to do some evil thing. Disappoint Him. That He will not succeed. As I said at the opening, that we've never met with so many of these evil things arising from within the church. It's like a son telling the father, Hey, father, if you don't behave, you get out. This happens. So you come to this prayer. This prayer is so good, please keep it and pray it. When danger comes and enemies pursue you, you say, Arise, O Lord. Disappoint him. Even though he tries so hard, no one can harm you if God is for you. If God is for you, who can be against you? Romans 8:31. Cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked. Now, finally, verse 15. As for me, as I said at the beginning, you go buy insurance, you know what you're getting at the end. You take a trip, you want to know what you get at the end. Whatever you do, you want to know what is the end result. Following the Lord along the narrow path, what do you get at the end? Sacrificing all your pleasure and those things that happen along the broad way, you don't enjoy. People say, you're a fool. Be a fool for Christ's sake. But the best is yet to be, because He will show it to you. But when you arrive there, you will know. Before you arrive there, can you know? Can you know or not? Do you know or not? Do you know what blessing is coming to your way for you? Because you follow Jesus along the straight and narrow path. I give you one verse, and then you will be very happy today. 1 John at the very end of the Bible, and keep your other spot on the Psalm 17. We are going to read it again. 1 John chapter 3. Here God reveals to you, when you follow Jesus, you do not follow Him for nothing. Not that if those foolish people who say, yes, the pie in the sky, you disappear. 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Are you a son of God, a daughter of God, a child of God? Are you? If you are not, please make up your mind now to receive Him and be a son of God. You can either be a son of God or son of the devil. You cannot be neither or both. So if you are not a son of God, you are a son of the devil. You are bound for destruction along the broad way. Now you say, I believe in Jesus. I only believe in Jesus. I know He died for me. I say, hallelujah, amen. Bless you. Now what will you get? Here it is. Describe and explain in detail for you that you will know today. Following Jesus is the most wonderful thing, the only worthwhile thing in this life. That we should be called the sons of God, yes. It's not an empty name, you know. It's full of meaning. Read on. Therefore, the world knows us not because the world does not know God. Please understand, on earth, in this world, there are just two kinds of people. People of God and people of the world, there are just two kinds. And thank God you are here, you are son of God. All the rest are sons of the world, sons of the devil. Don't tell your friends that. They won't talk to you afterwards, huh? They don't understand. Verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Are you? Ask yourself in your heart, do you really love God? Do you really follow Him? Witness for Him. Why are there so many empty seats here? Why don't you fill one or two of them with your friends? It does not yet appear what we shall be. Today we still do not know. Whether you are a believer or non-believer, you sit there, you look exactly the same. I can't tell. You can't tell. But God knows. Now there's something going to happen. Read on. The last part of verse 2. But we know. Something's happening. When He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Something's going to happen. This is a promise. When you believe in Jesus Christ, He became a Son of God. And Jesus says, Go into all the world and preach the gospel and tell others, fill these seats. And be my witness because I'm coming back. When Jesus comes back, you are going to see him. Where does it say so? Verse 2, last part. When he shall appear, when will he appear? Do you know? Don't know. Why don't you know? Because Jesus says so. You cannot know. Even the Son does not know the date until it happens. Only the Father knows, is in his will. But it is a fact. All the signs say it is soon. You must be ready. When he appears, something most wonderful will happen. For all the years of your walking the narrow path, for all the years that you've been faithfully praying and serving him, for all the years you've been a true Christian, on that day, at that moment, something most wonderful is exactly what you say. If I follow your tour group, what will I get at the end? This is what you get at the end. You don't have it now. What is it? We shall be like him. Amazing transformation. In the Word of God in Romans 8:18, it says, the glory that shall be revealed. Today we look the same. On that day you're going to be different immediately. When Jesus appears, you will be so happy. Someone who is perhaps afflicted with incurable disease, if Jesus should appear now, that disease disappears immediately. Because it says here, we shall be like him, changed. In a moment, how quick? In the twinkling of an eye. How fast does it take you to twinkle your eye? I twinkled, did you see? They measured this with an electronic clock. 1/400 of a second. You know what is a second? Tick-tock, that's 1 second. 1/400 second, I blink my eye. In that time, with that speed, when Jesus returns, he'll change your body to be like his. What kind of body? A glorified body, cannot sin, cannot get sick, cannot die anymore. Amazing. This is a promise. I did not invent it, you know. It's all here. Remember this. Now, 1 John 3, 1 and 2 is reflected in Psalm 17, verse 15. We conclude with this, huh? Verse 15, as for me, David says, you ask me why I am so foolish, never join the crowds. I say, here is the answer. I know whom I'm believed. I know what I'm going to get at the end. I shall be satisfied. When I awake with thy likeness. Amazing. The two verses are the same. Death is no barrier. Death is no fear on you. Because you're going to wake with the likeness of Jesus. That is glory. That is unchangeable glory. Never to go back to this body. Grows old. I never know that I look so old. But after 80 years, changes take place. At that moment, in the twinkling of an eye, glory takes over. Then what do you say? I shall be satisfied that I followed Jesus. That is your reward. Never give up following Jesus. Never give up serving him. never give up praying to him. I challenge my church members. Have you ever read the Bible through and through in 1 year? Not many. But 20 have responded. I say, if you want to read with me in 1 year, now it's not easy. I'll give you a challenge too. You say, what happened now? What happened means you got to make up your mind. If my Lord loves me so much, and he's died for me, and he's written a love letter here, I've never read it through once even, can I not do it in the year of 2009? You say, I need a new year to start. Very good. Tomorrow is New Year, isn't it? Start tomorrow. Yeah. The schedule is in your year planner. If you don't know, you read 4 chapters of Old Testament and 1 New Testament every day, you'll be all right. Now, dear friends, we have a closing hymn. I want to sing with you this closing hymn. It's written by Robert Murray McChain, the greatest saint of Scotland. Some of us have been to Scotland, and most of us will know Auld Lang Syne or Loch Lomond song, but very few know this song. This is the best song coming out of Scotland by Robert Murray McChain. Let me read through with you. When this passing world is done, when has sung yon glorious sun, when we stand with Christ on high, there is a day coming. Jesus will welcome you to stand with him. Amazing thing. If at the next National Day parade, wow, the President Nathan says, invite you to come to the platform and stand with me. This is the meaning of it. There will be glory. How can it be? This is spiritual, no longer physical. And the promise is so wonderful. Looking over life's history, then, Lord, shall I fully know, and not till then, how much I owe. If I owe so much to the Lord for his goodness to us, what have I done for him? So there is a challenge and a question here in every verse, every stanza. Stanza 2, when I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty, not my own. What kind of beauty? Purity. Sinlessness. Amazing. That's what we all need. When I see thee as thou art, love thee with unsinning heart. How wonderful to have a body with a heart that is no longer prone to sin. The trouble is we resolve not to sin, but the heart be so prone to sin, the flesh is so prone to sin, that before you have made your resolution for 2 days, you're already sinning again. But on that day, he says, no more. Unsinning heart. Stanza 3. Even on earth, as through a glass, through a mirror, darkly let thy glory pass. Make forgiveness feel so sweet. We ever feel so happy, so thankful, grateful in your heart that God has forgiven your sins. What? To illustrate to you, it is a big mess of dirt on you. You could never get rid of it until the blood of Jesus washes away. Then you are so thankful. Stanza 4. Chosen. Did you know that you are here because God chose you? It is amazing that he thought of you. And he sent the gospel message to you to touch your hearts. And you come here. Chosen by God. For good. Not for good in me, because he saw something good. This fellow is good. Let me have him. No. But God chose you because He had pity on you, had mercy on you, had compassion. Say, you sinner, come in, and we'll wash you. I'll wash you. Waken up from wrath to flee. Oh, dear friends, when you come to Jesus, He takes you away from the punishment to come, the wrath of God. You will be spared on that day when all those on the Broadway rushing to enjoy themselves will find themselves facing the wrath of God. It's a terrible thing, a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now may the love of God our Father, the saving grace of Jesus Christ His Son, and the keeping, instruction, communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of us through this New Year period and through the whole year until we see our Savior face to face. Amen.